I'm joined right now on the phone with Hussan, who is an activist in Toronto with No One Is Illegal. And he was also at the court today in Toronto for the sentencing hearing of Mandy Hiscox, who was just sentenced today for 16 months in jail for counseling to commit mischief and counseling to obstruct police following the G20 protests and the G20 summit in Toronto in June 2010. Hussan, you were, of course, at one time a co-accused of Mandy. But can you just... talk to us a little bit about what was happening in court today, what the scene was like.
So the court today was a bit of a shamble. There were dozens and dozens of people who appeared. Initially, we were not allowed to be, not all of us could get into the courthouse. The Crown made his submissions talking about a play and about the rule of law. And before Mandy could, and when Mandy began to say her statement, a number of people stood up in the court. And when they stood up in the court, there was a lot of consternation. And finally, the Crown asked, the judge asked for a recess, and we were moved into a video court. And so we started again with Mandy's statement, but this time no one was allowed in the actual court itself except one supporter. Everybody else was in the video room. Then Mandy read her statement to the court, which is now online at her blog, which is boredbutnotbroken.dow.ca. And basically, as Mandy did, it turned into a really long back and forth between the judge and Mandy.
And we were just following some people's Twitter posts, because some of the people who were inside the hearing were kind of live tweeting the hearings. Apparently, the judge made some pretty controversial, some would even say outlandish comments, regarding, the KKK and the 99%. Can you just tell us a little bit about some of the judge's comments?
Right. So in the previous two sentencing hearings, the judge has stated that the reason Martin Luther King and others did not participate in so-called violent actions was because they were afraid that the KKK would carry out violent actions, and in a way sort of suggesting that the actions that took place during the G20 were somehow linked to the tactics of the KKK. And so Mandy took it upon herself in her statement to challenge the judge and be like, you said this earlier, and this is, and in comparing the tactics of the KKK and the G20, you've missed the point. And the point is not so much their tactics, but their politics, them being a racist white supremacist organization. And through it, she talked about how the entire criminal justice system is actually, a racist and colonial one. And it turned into a back and forth between the judge and Mandy, the judge sort of actually accepting that there are issues of racialization within the justice system, talking about how too many people of color, indigenous people, are in the system. The judge accepting that, the Gladio Court does not work fully. They're insisting that the issue was that people's rights of freedom of speech were had to be accepted. And again, in his closing statement, once Mandy had spoken, the judge goes out and, said about how he was part of the 99%. I mean, this is a man who makes about $250,000 living in Canada, and a judge at that, and just sort of asserting that it was a very ridiculous thing, and it went on for a very long time.
And then can you just describe the scene a little bit, immediately following the hearing? Apparently there was kind of like a bit of a disruption in the courtroom. Yeah, sure. Can you describe a little bit the scene immediately following the hearing? Apparently there was a bit of a disruption in the courtroom.
But we're in the video room next to the court itself, and at various points people were cheering, people were booing, people were banging on the walls, and was chanting Mandy's name, and the Crown kept saying that this brought the court and the administration of justice into disrepute. And that was, but of course, the judge for once actually overruled him and insisted that was not the case. So
today, Amanda, also known as Mandy Hiscock, was sentenced to 16 months in prison. She's been charged with one count of counseling mischief over $5,000 and one count of counseling to obstruct police. Neither she nor any of the other six charged in the G20 protests were convicted of conspiracy. This means that out of the 21 people in the supposed G20 main conspiracy group, only 7 were convicted and the charges were dropped on the other 14. This is only a portion of the statement released on Mandy's blog today, which she said she will use to share information about jail and the criminal, quote, justice system, as well as stories from the inside. In her entire statement, she talks in greater detail about the comparing of the protesters to the KKK and about the 1999 Regina versus Gloud Supreme Court case, which acknowledges some of the reasons Indigenous people may end up in the justice system. The entire statement can be found on her blog at http://boredbutnotbroken.tao.ca/. My statement to the court. It's not every day you get the opportunity to speak directly to a judge, and I have a lot to say. This is my first opportunity to speak since this entire process started last June, so I hope you'll hear me out until the end. I want to address some of the things you said on this matter in earlier sentencing hearings, particularly your references to the KKK. The problem with the KKK isn't only their tactics, it's the fact that they're a white supremacist group. White supremacy is defined as a historical-based, institutionally perpetrated system of exploitation and oppression of continents, nations, and peoples of color by white people and nations for the purpose of establishing, maintaining, and defending a system of wealth, power, and privilege. I don't think you disagree with me that there is a system of wealth, power, and privilege in this country. I benefit from this system every day, and so do you. We benefit on the backs of others, most of whom are people of color. Systematic oppression is widespread in the legal system. Racial profiling affects who gets arrested in the first place, who gets charged, and who gets sent home. It's not a secret that if you're in custody during your trial, your chances of conviction are higher. Who in this is more likely to plead guilty right away because they don't have the time, tools, or money to defend themselves? The fact is that lawyers are expensive, and your chance of conviction depends on how much time your lawyer is willing to put into your case. Most judges are white, and the jury selection process means that if you're poor, you'll almost certainly not end up with the jury of your peers. And finally, sentencing relies on privilege, your education level, your chance of employment, your income, prior run-ins with the law, and so on. I don't have proper statistics for all of the above, and anyway, I know you know this stuff. However, here are some statistics that I do have. Black people make up roughly 2.5% of Canada's population, but 9.12% of federal prisoners. In Ontario, 20% of the federal prison population is black. Keeping in mind that people of color have been hardest hit by the economic downturn and the conservative policies of our current government, and keeping in mind all the ways in which the legal system disadvantages people of color, is it really any wonder? My point is, the KKK targeted black people with overt violence and terror, and this system targets them with institutionalized racism, which is just a more subtle form of violence. White supremacy is wrong, it's violent and dangerous, whether it's at the hands of a fringe group like the KKK or an accepted institution like the criminal justice system. It's not always what the justice system does that causes the problems, sometimes it's what it doesn't do. The courts simply do not consider systematic oppression and inequality. I don't have the power to change what happens in this legal system. I'm trying to indicate why I don't respect this legal system. The Crown wants this sentence to be a deterrent. It won't be. When I get taken out of here, do you think you'll have increased anyone's faith in the system? I am certainly not deterred. I'm just angry. No matter what my sentence is here today, it won't be about justice. Your system is not about justice. A court of real justice would defend people against aggressors. In this society, the privileged are the aggressors, but time after time, you choose to protect their privilege and their property against people who are struggling to survive. The legal system that we have here is not equal. It's not fair, and it's not just. And a lot of people out there believe that it is. What I would like to impart to you is that I don't buy it, and the statistics don't support it. Throughout this farcical legal process that's coming to an end today, the accused have been told that our actions were an attack on the rule of law, which is at the heart of our society. Well, good. Our society is racist and colonial. It's rooted in wealth and power, and so is the rule of law that upholds it. Mandy's entire statement can be found on her blog at http://boredbutnotbroken.tao.ca/.